Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Dan Harjas. Wow, I don't know how to say the last name. Dan Harjas, who's a silver level amplifier with us here at Free Talk Live. That means that Dan helps to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So, therefore, he's part of the AMPS program. And if you would like to check out the AMPS program and get some perks and benefits for helping out us here at Free Talk Live, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you so much to Dan. We really appreciate everyone's help who contributes to the AMPS program. And with you in the studio on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Riley.
And we really went into all kinds of different subjects in last conversation, but basically here on Free Talk Live, we're always talking about liberty, and one thing about liberty is that you should have the freedom to talk about whatever you want, so we always answer when Sarah from New Mexico calls. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Even though it's Free Talk Live, I would like to talk with something that has value to life, such as this brand new bus station depot in Valencia County, which is about 10-15 miles south of Albuquerque. So what's amazing is that Belen or Las Lunas, one of the small towns, and they never had any kind of bus line there whatsoever. So they had a big, huge ribbon cutting ceremony, and I'm just excited, you know, because I might want to buy a house later and move there, you know, if there's a bus that takes you to the grocery store and to a mall and bring you back, you know, I'll just take any bus. So usually these small towns, they got that one main road, or they call that a central road, and it's only one road with the shops on it, and it goes through the city, and mm-hmm. I think they might have a bus line going through it. Isn't that how it is usually?
I have no idea. I've never even used public transit ever. I've always wanted freedom, therefore I've always wanted to have my own car.
I've used public transit, and I would suggest that, you know, buses are going to go to places where there's people who are going to ride the buses typically, or demand for it somewhere. So, I mean, they're not going to put a bus out to the middle of the, out to the, where, New Hampshire.
Like, well, what's your destination? Well, I went to a lot of these bus meetings. They're going to have a lot of bus, but then they have comments like, where do you go? It's always the central New Mexico. It's the community college, the university, and it's the mall. So where do you go? So that's usually their stopping spots, you know what I mean? So, and it's always the central. Every small town, they always have this main street. If it's like a really small town, they got this one road that goes right through the city. And so I think this town doesn't have much of population or much of anything, but it's attractive to me because I mean, it's the land might be cheaper. The houses might be cheaper for what you get. And it might be a lot more peace and quiet. If they have one bus to take you to the Walmart shopping area and to the mall or something, goes by shopping, like groceries and bring you back. Like I'm all it. So I'm just excited. And
I
also found out. Yeah, I'm a bus person. I've never owned a car. I mean, I could drive, but I hate driving. You know what? I hate driving because the road rage. You know, the people that are like right behind you and they're screaming and yelling at you to turn the light. Or I mean, I would have a nervous breakdown.
Exactly.
My nerves can't take it.
You're afraid of the idea that somebody might get mad at you, yell at you, and possibly harm you. You're very afraid of the unknown, and that's why you believe that we need a government to keep us all safe from people with road rage.
Well, I can't, you know, I like to be really safe when I make a left or a right. I just want to make sure that, but they want me to just turn a left or a right when they feel like it's safe enough for me. And I just can't deal with it. But I just want to also say there's a town of Anthony on the border of New Mexico, and I recently heard that there's a bus line that actually takes you down to El Paso. I don't know if it's like 10 miles.
I never take that bus. I hate El Paso. I'm sorry, Sarah. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just hate El Paso so much. It's gross.
Oh, really? Have you been there before?
Yeah.
What is so gross about it? The only thing that is really gross is their they still got refineries. I just couldn't believe it.
What is that?
I went there and I'm really
oil refineries.
Yeah, the oil refineries, it's like, is that for real? Because I don't see those in New Mexico because we're all about clean energy. So I'm like, this is Texas. And I went there and high inversion days, like where the air compresses down really cold.
Inversion,
and I was like,
worse than that, makes the
suffocating, huh?
Yeah, inversion also just makes the air quality super bad. I didn't really know that's like a thing that happens in El Paso. I hear about it in like mountainous areas, but El Paso is gross. Like literally, you're like sitting there and like dust is flying all around everywhere, or like sand or something. It's not really sand; it's just like dirt, and just like the city is ugly. Everybody looks scary and mean. There's not like, I mean, It's not like I've like spent life, like a life there or something. Just like whenever I've had to drive through, and I'm like, I'm getting out of here. Me and my friend drove from Las Vegas to San Antonio. I was helping her move, and she just wants somebody to go with her for the drive. And we purposely drove past El Paso and slept in our car and just like a little bit outside of it to just not be that close to it. It was just, it's creepy. It's gross. I was like microdosing shrooms, not even like super tripping or anything. And I was just like, I have a bad feeling about this place. It's gross. Like I was like, I feel this like uneasy stomach.
Yeah, mushrooms can definitely make you sensitive to energies for sure.
I didn't think that it was all that bad or all that good, except that refinery with that. I couldn't believe that the chimneys of like, this is Texas. It was like the most, I don't see that in the Albuquerque area. I do not see that up in Taos or Santa Fe, because our state, we found their oil companies polluting close to Las Cruces, that area, the border area. We find the millions of dollars. There were some friends, the bus riders, that were working on a bus line in Anthony, town of Anthony, and they accomplished a bus line hooking up all the way down, connecting with the little buses that hook you up with a peso. So mm-hmm. I'm just amazed. And this brand new bus line in Las Lunas, Valencia County is south of Albuquerque, so I'm just blown away of all these accomplishments.
Okay, Sarah. Well, I like to let Sarah to let the people maybe listening in Albuquerque know about this news that she is excited about. I'm happy you're excited, Sarah. Ultimately, I just I think it's terrible to steal from people just because you don't want to take turns very fast. So you don't want to take your turns fast enough. for the people behind you. And it's probably not just that. It's probably like she's suddenly like slamming on her brake and taking a super slow turn, making dangerous conditions on the road. I'm just going to go ahead and guess that.
Sitting at the light forever after it turns green.
Oh, my gosh.
It sounds like driving through an adventure sometimes.
Thank you for the call, Sarah. In the last segment, we started talking about the Foundation for Economic
Education.
Before
we move on to, back to our article.
Sorry about that, Red.
I have something I want to promote. So in Concord, New Hampshire, on April 20th at 4:20, I am organizing a cannabis freedom rally, and if you partake of cannabis or you support cannabis freedom, come out to Concord, New Hampshire at the State House.
Yes, I'm going to be there, and I'm very excited about this. May happen that day, too.
The Bitcoin happening where the block rewards for the Bitcoin miners gets cut in half.
Yes, and that could make interesting things happen. That could make the price of Bitcoin go up a lot. Some people say it's going to go down a lot. I'm just excited to see what happens. Honestly, Bitcoin, if it was just worth $1, Bitcoin would be a huge success.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's not about the price of the Bitcoin. It's about what it's useful for, and it's useful as money outside the current government system. The thing is, people are getting into it because the number go up.
Yep, and I think that is kind of silly in a way. It's like, it's silly because it's just like, it's such a good
technology. It's silly
technology.
Because it's ignoring the technology and the use case of Bitcoin, which is as a currency, a peer-to-peer currency, that doesn't rely on a bank or a government to mine it or bring it into existence.
I agree. It's already accomplished the most important task it needed to accomplish, which is that it gives people an opportunity to use something other than blood money. And the demonic, I don't really mean that literally, but the disgusting, evil, that's the word, system of the fiat monetary system in the United States, with the Federal Reserve, and just their decree that you must use this dollar, and that it's worth this amount when really all it is a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I like it, because it's freedom to choose what you want to use to purchase things with. Everybody wanted to trade acorns, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. And also, I don't know about you, Lori, but they're Bonnie and I are fans of silver and gold because it's not because the numbers, the value of gold goes up. It's because
you guys don't know each other.
Retains its value.
Yeah, I'm a fan of silver and gold.
Good.
But, I'll trade in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll trade in anything anyone wants to trade in. You want some cake? I'll bake you a cake if you give me something I want in return. I love
and
trading.
And Lori makes really good
sweets. Good,
I don't think I've specifically eaten cake she made, but Lori makes everything so freaking delicious.
I like trading. I usually use things that are not currency as much as I can.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, especially now when we're not in a situation of dire need, like, bartering makes, like, a whole lot of sense. Like, oh, Lori makes a delicious cake, and she wants something that's perishable. Like, maybe that would be a bad idea if it was, like,
I want a chicken. I'll bake you a cake for your chicken. Give me your chicken. I'll give you the cake, if you want the cake.
Huh?
You know, like, anything. I'll just take a thing that I want from you, and you take a thing you want from me. If we decide that those things are equal value, then now they're equal value.
And that is ideal in the least middle man or middle chunk of silver situation.
Mm-hmm.
I really just like the idea that people in New Hampshire right now are using all these alternative currencies.
Exactly. We're practicing how to use gold and silver and use gold backs to trade gold, use
and
silver.
Cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah. We use cryptocurrency here. I pay my rent in cryptocurrency. It's really nice to be in a community of people that I can really connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that most people in the country who don't think about these types of things do so because they're like Sarah. They want to be safe above all else. They don't care about freedom. And that's why their lives will never improve. We are getting into this story from the Foundation for Economic Education in the last segment. It's titled, Self-Improvement is Inherently Pro-Liberty. And I just really like this topic. I really am into, like, learning the ways I can better myself, like, making my life better for myself. It's all stuff that takes effort, stuff that takes work. And I totally agree that it is inherently pro-liberty. And people who start, if you start reading any of these, like, people who want you to, like, you know, self-improvement books, if you get really deep into them, freedom is often a theme that you can't help but run into at some point.
Of course, like, you know, reading The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz or The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. These are all about freedom. These are all about how to maintain personal freedom in your personal life so that you're happier. And when you enslave yourself to an ideology or fear of the unknown or things like that, it's a challenge to overcome these experiences because you don't want to change. You don't want to step out into the unknown and say, wait a minute, my world doesn't seem the same. I'm going to question everything about this world.
Most people don't want to do that.
No, they don't. They want to think. They want someone to think for them, or they want to stick to the old ideologies because their parents did so, or
but
grandparents did so.
Tons of people are getting into this topic. Whether or not that has led them to freedom is the answer. What's the question? Yet, I think that ultimately we're heading in a right direction. This says the number one best-selling book in the world last week, even though this was written in February of this year, was Atomic Habits, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones by James Clear. I haven't heard of it. Sounds like a pretty good book. He says, to be extra clear, it wasn't just the top book in its category, but the top book, period. That is an especially remarkable feat, as overall bestseller lists are typically dominated by works of fiction. I don't get that. I don't get it.
Why don't you get it?
I just think fiction can be so boring. I want to learn real things.
I mean, I agree with you. I want to learn real things, too. But sometimes it's nice to go off into a fantasy world and stimulate your imagination.
I think it's sometimes nice. I just do not understand, like, top, like, the most bought, most consumed stuff being fiction. I can't wrap my mind around it.
Most people are unhappy with their lives.
Hmm.
It's a way to escape.
Yeah, they use it as an escape, and they read, like, a lot of people read garbage, too. Like,
the other thing is,
romance novels and stuff are
that
really,
is garbage.
Yeah, like a really
porn
top seller thing.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah
people buy. I don't even understand why people buy it.
A good friend of mine, I love her so much, and she is an intelligent person and a libertarian. She asked me about, like, what could she read to learn about seed oils. She's like, I see you talking about it. I want to know, like, the facts. I gave her a book. And then, like, a week later, she texted me, Bonnie, I'm reading the book you told me, and it's the first time I've ever had anything that wasn't pure smut on my Kindle. I was like, seriously?
Wow,
like,
that's wild.
I hear about girls reading that stuff, and I think that I honestly think it's mostly girls reading, like, porn on their, like, men, they want to see the porn. Women, they want to, like, think about it, so
they want to have a scenario about it, yeah.
I don't
really
understand that.
This. I don't either. Well, okay, I understand the theory. I think I and most women are more intellectually stimulated by sexual talk, and men are more just like, I see boobs, and now things are happening.
Yeah.
I think it would have to be both.
It would definitely have to be both, like, ultimately.
Like, you can't just have, I could never just have it just written down on paper and be like, wow.
No,
wow.
Yeah. That is also the case.
Titillating.
Like, I wouldn't be interested enough to read those books or anything, but I can understand intellectually why they like it, especially if you're single. Like, yeah, you could also just live
this. It sparks your imagination to dream of a prince who's going to come save you from your life.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, man, that's kind of sad, but I definitely think that that's why fiction is more popular than nonfiction. It's the same thing as, like, I'm sure that fake, you know, made-up stories in movies and books, or, sorry, movies and TV shows are more popular than, like, documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people do watch documentaries and they can get really popular and stuff, like, I'd say number one is always probably something that's fiction. Or, I don't know if you'd say fiction about a movie.
Yeah, they don't show documentaries at the movie theater.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about that. Like, why aren't, like, top documentaries, like, being shown at, like, the local movie theater? That would be really cool.
One of my favorite things ever growing up was when we went to the Science Museum and we went to the IMAX theater and they did, mm-hmm, like, the documentary on that big IMAX screen, or it wasn't the IMAX, it was a planetarium theater.
Oh, wow.
And so it was like all 3D.
Wow.
Like it was a nature documentary, like you were flying over the savanna and the
That's
animals,
so cool.
And it looked like you were actually there. It was kind of unsettling because it looked like you were there flying over it, and you're like, am I going to fall out of my seat? But
whoa. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've never been to those planetarium things.
That'd be great if they did that on a regular basis at a movie theater, like had one of those where you could just go watch documentaries. That'd be wonderful. I'd go all the time.
Why don't they? Seriously, I think that people would go to that.
I don't go to the regular movies, but I'd go to that.
I have went to the movies a lot last year just because of Ian. Like, Ian definitely is like more of a movie person and like makes me end up wanting to watch movies with him. But I think that's not the topic we were talking about. I can so easily get distracted on Wednesdays because you guys always have like lots of like interesting thoughts about things.
We just like distracting you and getting you off the rails a little bit.
That's also just what Free Talk Live is about, and you can call 603-283-6160 if you would like to join in the conversation or change the topic. 603-283-6160. So this article, it starts off saying that the number one best-selling book in the world was Atomic Habits, An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones by James Clear. He says, it's quite something for a nonfiction book to be outselling even the hottest romance novels. It's funny. And it's no flash in the pan either. The title has been topping the charts since its release half a decade ago. Wow.
Wow.
I didn't realize there was a big book. I mean, an old book. I'd never heard of it. Since then, it has been on Publishers Weekly's top 10 overall list for 194 weeks and has, of mid-2023, over 15 million copies had been purchased. Such staying power and volume indicates not just effective marketing, but satisfied readers and enthusiastic word of mouth. It says the Atomic Habits phenomenon is an encouraging one. In recent years, we have seen many troubling signs of cultural decay. Yet at the same time, we also are seeing a counter trend of millions seeking to build better versions of themselves and finding an effective guidebook for doing so. That is cause for hope. I really do agree. Sometimes I feel very, like, black-pilled about the world at large. But just the idea of so many people just even just talking about and titillating their brains with the idea of self-improvement, I think that's just the most important thing. And, like we were mentioning, I think it will lead to people becoming more freedom-minded.
Oh, I agree. I think when people improve themselves overall, they're more willing to be freedom-minded, they're more willing to be happier, they're able to be happier because they're choosing better choices.
I agree. He started off explaining that thing about the one book, and he told us that this is a trend going on with people looking to find effective guidebooks for bettering themselves. He goes on and says, what's the big deal? How, a skeptic might ask, is a bunch of people improving their habits supposed to reverse cultural decay? I really don't like that term. Ew. It's just like something is not right about it. Like, I don't like the idea of cultural decay. Like, oh, we should be in some kind of culture, like one specific culture, and if we're not, it's decay.
I understand that. I mean, it's interesting because people want culture to be a certain way.
Yeah, they want it to stay the same.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. But how is self-improvement inherently pro-liberty? We'll get into it when we come back. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is reiterating his stance that abortion laws should be determined by individual states, suggesting he opposes national restrictions.
Every legal scholar, everybody from the Democrats and Republicans, they wanted to bring it back for 53 years. Bring it back to the state.
Speaking in Atlanta, Trump also expressed confidence that the Arizona law recently upheld by the state Supreme Court will be rectified with the involvement of the Democratic governor and other stakeholders. President Biden, in response to today's latest Bureau of Labor Statistics report, says inflation has notably decreased during his tenure. He also said he continued his belief that the Federal Reserve will reduce interest rates before the end of the year. Give me a break, give me a break, give me a break from that Krispy Kreme donut. Krispy Kreme is unveiling three fresh flavors of Kit Kat donuts for a limited time. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. You can join the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to let the listeners know that we are on TikTok. We have a TikTok account. It's at Free Talk Live. No spaces or anything. So very easy to find. And you can go there to watch clips of Free Talk Live, or if you want to share clips with people, it's the best way to share like a quick little piece of Free Talk Live because it's, you know, short for TikTok. And I really appreciate our listener who is voluntarily doing Free Talk Live for us. He's looking to get us to a certain amount of followers on TikTok so that we can go live on there, and that'll be really great. It's at Free Talk Live on TikTok, and you should follow us there if you're on TikTok. In the studio with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
Riley.
And in the last segment, we were talking about why it is that self-improvement is inherently pro-liberty. And we had just started discussing this term, this author. His name is Dan Sanchez. He keeps talking about cultural decay. I don't know how he defines it. I don't really like that word, but he is apparently pro-liberty and writes for the Foundation for Economic Education, so I hope he just means, you know, like, people going more towards an immoral mindset, people, you know, I think it would be great if people, everybody used like the term like cultural decay was just saying like, oh, it's cultural decay when people start believing they can steal from their neighbors to fund a bus and stuff like that.
Oh, I definitely think that's cultural decay, but, you know, I think a lot of people on the right especially would say that cultural decay is the homosexuals and the trans people and the big government programs and things like that taking care of these people. That, to them, is cultural decay.
That's why I just wanted...
Women wanting to govern their bodies and vote.
Wear pants. Yeah, I just wanted to point it out that, like, I don't think this author would be using it like that. So, I don't know, I just wanted to point that out. It's a weird word, or two words. What am I trying to say? Term. It's a weird term, I don't like it. But he's using it here in this article, so let's move on. He says, a conservative critic might argue that a moral degenerate with a fine-tuned morning routine is still a moral degenerate. In fact, better habits might only empower such reprobates to be more effective in disseminating their perverse values. The last thing we need is Netflix scriptwriters improving their daily creative process and cranking out more youth-corrupting poison. Cultural decay, our critic might say, can only be combated with a culture war, with champions of the good thing battling the forces of evil in order to reform the values of others, not people in general reforming themselves. I think this author is, like, exactly on our theological side, not theological, theoretical side.
I think so, too.
I think that he's kind of saying exactly what we'd say about the right. A libertarian doubter might add that the root cause of our cultural decay is that big government is strangling individual liberty and perverting incentives. We can't self-improve our way out of that. I think he's being sarcastic there.
I think so too, yeah.
A socialist on a better diet will just be around longer to clamor for more tyranny. Civilizational decline, our doubter may insist, can only be reversed through a war of ideas, through champions of the truth skewering collectivist facilities in order to reform the thinking of others. Again, not people in general reforming themselves. Both the conservative and the libertarian might agree that only a strategic focus on political change, getting the right people in office, and the right laws in the books will save us. Yeah, I think that's really silly to think that is going to help your life much, like who's in office. And
it doesn't matter who's in political office. Like, I've been around for 38 years, and there hasn't been a political office or a president that has changed my life so dramatically that I have to go on the radio and talk about how great this so-called president was.
No, we'll talk about how terrible they are, though.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about how terrible Obama was, Bush was, Clinton was,
do
Bush
the same
was.
Thing. It doesn't really matter who's in office.
Right.
Even if they are terrible, that one would have been just as terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I also do like this topic that he's hinting at here, saying, like, changing yourself is the most effective thing. More effective than trying to change other people.
And if everyone betters themselves, the whole world gets better.
Yes, that sounds exactly right to me. I just like this idea that you can totally try to influence other people, but you can't change them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's not that I really like it. I just think that it is true.
Yeah.
It just appears true to me.
Yeah, you can't make anyone do anything. I even teach that to the kids, my little kids. I tell them, like, you can't control what other people do. You can only control how you react to it.
Yeah. How old is your youngest? Do you mind my asking?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah. A 4 and a 5-year-old.
Wow.
And I'm busy.
That's a great...
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Like, lesson to have already learned at 4 and 5. Because I know that would save me a lot of frustration. Like, oh, you can't, like, force other people to behave however you want. All you can do is change how you react to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to have, like, really bad, like, anger problems. Back in the day, well, maybe I shouldn't say I had anger problems, but I was angry for a lot of the time. And the government even sent me to anger management classes. But if I would have just thought about things differently, like...
Did the anger management classes work?
No.
I've never been to an anger management class. What did they teach you?
I was just telling my dad the other day, one thing I really didn't like about that guy was he kept telling me something was wrong with me. And I kept telling him, like, no, like, these are the situations in my life that I'm frustrated with, and I need to change them, like, as in I need to move. And he kept being like, no, when you move to Texas, because I lived in a tiny, tiny town, like 150 people, mm-hmm. when you move to Texas, you're taking yourself with you. You'll have the same problems there. No, literally, I moved to Texas. I made a change in my life that changed, like, everything for the better. Like, not everything was perfect, because that's just life, but all of those things I was complaining about that were making me angry changed because I took the incentive to move out of that place. I just don't like this idea that a lot of, like, therapists and people nowadays altogether have that, like, you have something wrong with you and you need to, like, take a pill or something. It's just like, yeah, you might need to work on yourself, and I did need to work on myself, but also sometimes fixing an external thing in your life, like your diet or where you live, can make you better. And it's like a therapist trying to tell me that, no, you have anger. No matter what you do, you'll have this anger with you. Like, that is such BS. Hmm. I was complaining about that to my dad, because my dad, when he got out of the military, he ended up working for that guy.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I didn't like him. So the next little headline here in the article says, whom to improve. One libertarian who saw things differently was Leonard E. Reed, the founder of the Foundation for Economic Education. Oh, in his book, Elements of Libertarian Leadership, Reed wrote, all individuals are faced with the problem of whom to improve, themselves or others. Their aim, it seems to me, should be to affect their own unfolding. The upgrading of their own consciousness. In short, self-perfection. Wow, that's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Never read this guy. Have you guys?
I have not.
No.
Those who don't even try, or when trying, find self-perfection too difficult, usually seek to expend their energy on others. Control freaks. I added that. Their energy has to find some target. Those who succeed in directing their energy inward, particularly if they be blessed with great energy, like Goethe. Is that how you say the name? Goethe? I think it's something von Goethe. Maybe Ludwig. Yeah, I think it's Goethe, but I don't know.
How's it spelled?
G-O-E-T-H-E.
I think it's Goethe, yeah.
So, if they're blessed with great energy, like Goethe, for instance, become moral leaders. Those who fail to direct their energy inward and let it manifest itself externally, particularly if they be of great energy, like Napoleon, for instance, become immoral leaders.
Mm.
Those who refuse to rule themselves are usually bent on ruling others. Those who can rule themselves usually have no interest in ruling others. That was great. That makes me really want to read this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That sounds fantastic.
It's called The Elements of Libertarian Leadership.
Huh.
Really interesting.
And it makes sense, too. Who do you want to listen to? Somebody who has their life together, they're intelligent, they're doing well, or somebody who just wants to yell orders?
Yeah.
And their own life is
in shambles.
I want to
listen to someone who's going to yell orders at me, tell me what God wants me to do for my life.
Right, and their whole life is in shambles. They're unhappy, but they want to control other people.
Yeah.
But they can't even control themselves.
Napoleon's a great example there, too, because that's, like, a word people will use for, like, a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just somebody who's like, ah, I'm mad, I'm a little short person. Like, apparently he was short.
Like, I think he was, like, 5'7". I think that's a myth.
Hmm, oh,
or
really?
5'8", something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's normal. Probably even tall for back then.
Yeah, I think he just felt self-conscious about himself because he wasn't happy with himself.
Yeah.
That's entirely possible, yeah.
It seems like Napoleon was a great example there because he's like, if you know, somebody who tried to control others, aka became like a warlord. I don't know if that's what you'd really call him, but yeah. I don't know. He was a warlord. He did a bunch of wars. So, the author of this article continues. He says, that is why the Atomic Habits phenomenon is such a good sign. The book's millions of readers are seeking self-improvement and thus directing their energy inward. The more they do that, the less they will expend their energy on others, trying to improve others by meddling with their values through corrupting indoctrination or meddling with their behaviors through shackling legislation. They will not only meddle less, but model more. And that's one thing I just love about Ian. Like, Ian, my husband, the founder of the show. He has a very strong set of moral beliefs, but all he does is model them. Like, he won't ever tell even me what to do.
Like, I really like that about Ian. So I do have a really good story about Ian doing exactly just that. So about several months ago in September, before Ian was put in prison, we were doing a secession, a New Hampshire independence outreach in downtown King, New Hampshire, and you know, we're just handing out flyers, and Ian showed up, and instead of telling me, oh, well, you should go out in front of the table and ask people to take a one-question survey on whether they want to leave New Hampshire, instead, he just did it himself.
Hmm.
Someone like my dad or a parent might be, you should do this, you should do that. And so, here, let me model this for you.
Aw. Yeah, Ian's really good at that. He's just like a go-getter. Sometimes he blows my mind because he'll be like, I'm just going to do this. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could think of a good example. But he'll be like, I'm just going to do this. And I'll be like, oh, can we do that? And he's like, I'm doing it right now. Like, that happens all the time. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even think of that. I can't think of an example, you know, but it happens all the time. And it sounds like that's like exactly a good example, actually. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to start handing out things and talking to people.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's stuff that feels like you're going to get in trouble. And then it really blows my mind. Because it's like, yeah, you might get in trouble, but you should at least try.
If it's
something good, not something bad. So he says that these types of people will not only meddle less, but they'll model more. That is because their self-improvement efforts can inspire those in their circle of influence to self-improve in emulation. At whatever scale of influence they have, self-improvers tend to become leaders who lead by example rather than meddlesome tyrants. Many goats instead of many Napoleons. I really hope it's goats. I feel like it's not. I feel like I've heard it said and I was surprised by how it was said. So this is not to say that conservatives and libertarians cannot influence the moral values and political ideas of others, but as Reed taught, good influence cannot be achieved through meddlesome campaigns of counter-indoctrination, culture wars, and wars of ideas. Yeah, I really hate this whole idea of, like, the culture war. We need to win the culture war.
Yeah. If you want to win the culture war...
I'm too anti-war for that.
I mean... If you really want to win a culture war, demonstrate why your cultural ideas are better instead of going to attack people online. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I agree. I really like that we have like this community here and we can just show people like we have good lives instead of like, you know, constantly fighting the establishment
state.
And state. Like it's important to do activism, but I think a huge thing that brings people here and the thing that brought me here was just seeing like, oh my God, there are people up there like not wearing masks and hanging out together. Like,
yeah, just happily living your life.
Yeah, just like normal.
And sure, like every community, it's going to have disagreements and people separating for whatever reason for a period of time or whatever. But, you know.
And that's good.
Yeah, it can be good, but.
Shouldn't be forcibly together all the time. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, you guys are in the group. You guys are in the church, or you're out of the church.
Right, it's not a cult.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of people accuse it of being a cult, but I don't think it is. So somebody did text me that it's Gotha. So
okay.
I guess it's Gotha.
All right.
I forget his first name. Yeah, it's like something von Gotha. So he says, leadership in this arena is also a matter of self-improvement as opposed to other improvement, of modeling over meddling. The more we concentrate on improving our own understanding, expression, and embodiment of good values and ideas, like freedom, the more that others will gravitate toward our moral and thought leadership. Self-improvement is inherently pro-virtue and pro-liberty. What our world needs is not a culture war or a war of ideas. What the world needs is for each and all to wage and win the war within. Oh, that's so nice.
It is.
It has a Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I never said
I don't know how to pronounce that name either.
Solzhenitsyn. That's as close as I can get. Quote, it says, the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts.
Mm, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really nice. Like, that's like in Naruto. Naruto becomes really powerful when he does this whole process that lets him fight an evil version of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Once he defeats the evil version of himself, he gains a whole bunch of power, and I think it's like a really good, it's just exactly what we're talking about here. Like, destroying the evil in your own heart can help you to model others and influence them as opposed to controlling them.
Oh, I agree. Like, the biggest battle isn't between good and evil, it's between love and fear. Like, are we choosing to love or are we choosing to live in fear? And when you're choosing to live in love, you're choosing to make your life better. When you're living in fear, you want to control others because you're afraid of what they're going to do or whatever.
Right. He also adds another quote from that guy, Leonard E. Reed. Right method consists of self-improvement. If everyone were devoted to the perfection of self, there could be no meddlers amongst us, and without meddlers, there could be no socialism. And he says, P.S., if this essay resonated with you... Oh, never mind. He's just talking about his online course. So, yeah, you can go read that from Fee. Self-improvement is inherently pro-liberty. I thought that was such a beautiful short little article, and it was really inspiring to me. It reminds me of Ian, the person who founded this show, like we were bringing up. And
your
like,
husband.
Yeah, and my husband. And I think it's the method to take. There's been plenty of times when I was very frustrated during, like, the prosecution of Ian, where I'm just like, why can't people just get this stuff? So, like, why can't they just all understand it so I can just go and, like, not have to deal with my husband being put in jail? And I was always, like, just, like, tweeting, like, you know, like, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. And even though, like, I believe that I am right and was right, I just feel that's just not a method that will... All it's going to do is, like, give me a headache. Seriously.
Yeah, and you're not changing anybody's minds on Twitter anyway, because... Well,
it's
just
not
read
just
your
Twitter
tweets
either.
And...
It's not just Twitter. It's, like, the method.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
But I'm sure people's minds have been changed on the internet. There's this whole, like, oh, it's not activism to be on social media, but, like, people do get influenced on social media.
Sure.
But it's not just, when you're trying to influence them.
Right. Like, just telling people a thing, like, trying to make them get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think modeling is a lot better. Like, that's why on the show a lot recently I've been talking about, like, I just love my community, and I just, like, love all the people around me, and I wouldn't have as good of a quality of life as I do, which ultimately, like, minus the state taking Ian, is, like, a really freaking good life. I don't even have to deal with, like, the normies. I really don't even talk to my neighbors very much. Like, my literal neighbors, like, around me, other than the people who live on the other side of the house, though.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, I get everything I need from, like, the community of people that are here on purpose, not just people who just, like, happen to be born here and they're like, I'm your neighbor, but, like, my chosen community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of you guys... Or both of you guys and all of the people that we know that come to, like, our social Sundays and stuff. And when you're talking to them, you don't have to be like, oh, would this person call the cops on me if they got mad at me for something right now? Like, you don't even have to worry about something like that.
I know. I haven't worried about that in so long, like someone calling the cops on me.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It is really nice.
Like, living other places, you're like, oh, are my neighbors going to call the cops on me? Or
that's literally a completely valid thing to worry about.
I had a boyfriend call the cops on me once.
I've had a roommate that called the cops on me, like, 5 times to the point where the cops started telling her, like, listen, you can't call the cops every time you have, like, a disagreement with your roommate.
Oh, yeah, because I broke up with him. And so he called the cops.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Uh-huh. Did they arrest you?
They did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, they'll take anything they can get. Like,
I had a warrant that I didn't know I had. So.
Well, that's just, that's actually just violence, you know? Like, that is sending somebody to come harass your ex who has a gun and may kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should always treat cops as a dangerous thing. Yeah,
they're
person.
A weapon.
Yeah.
They're a weapon.
Using a weapon against you, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have a little bit more time in this episode, I really wanted to talk about this crazy story I found on Drudge Report. It's from IrishStar.com. It says, worrying figures show STD rates skyrocket among Americans who are 55 and older.
Oh, the 55.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, what else is there to do?
Well, why is it just happening now?
I don't know.
I guess the 55-year and older crowd are getting around.
Oh, probably because, you know, the boomers are getting older and dying off, and you got widows and widowers and then they're...
That makes a lot of sense.
Playing the game.
Yeah.
When they've just been with Mabel their whole lives and they don't know how to actually do it right.
Oh, my goodness. It says STD rates are seemingly skyrocketing among older Americans, according to the most recent figures released by the CDC. While STDs, which are sexually transmitted diseases, if you don't know, are normally associated with younger people, it seems as though it is older Americans that are contracting certain STDs based on recent stats. Adults in the U.S. over the age of 55 are contracting the likes of chlamydia, hepatitis C, and syphilis at a much higher rate than they were just 10 years ago. And I totally believe that you're right, Lori. It's probably just because their husbands are dying off. So the most recent stats are from 2022, and they show quite a significant increase in the number of adults contracting STDs compared to 2012. For example, In 2022, there were 5,160 reported cases of syphilis in adults aged 55 and older, an increase from what used to be 3,092 in 2020. So in just 2 years, it went up by like 2,000.
That's crazy.
But to put that into perspective, in 2012, there were only 712 cases. Wow, now there's 5,160.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Could it have something to do with the vaccine? Like, their immune systems are worse? Whoa, I bet that is honestly it. I hadn't even thought of it being the vaccine until just now. A bunch of people getting an experimental vaccine and wondering why they're suddenly getting infected with chlamydia more often. It says, similarly, chlamydia cases among Americans aged 55 and older in 2022 were reported to be 19,766 compared to 13,700 in 2020. Whoa. Speaking to NBC News, Texas A&M professor Matthew Lee Smith said that this increase could be due to a lack of sex education among the impacted generation. And that makes a lot of sense.
That would make a lot of sense.
He said back in the 30s and 40s, traditional school wasn't really doing sexual education. I just thought that was interesting, and if not, it did make me think a couple reasons that it could be. 603-283-6160 if you want to put that on your phone, but we're on freetalklive.com if you want to check us out there. Thank you for listening. It's been Free Talk Live. Peace.
Peace.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline
airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.